quite as tall as everybody else. But yeah, no. Oh, hey, look at that. It's up there. All right. So if y'all don't know where Mongolia is, it is below Russia and above China. Where I will be going this summer is, I'm going to butcher this, but Ulaanbaatar, I believe is how it's pronounced. Yeah, so not in the United States, so hopefully none of us will get sick, praying. If you could go to the other presentation, it'd be great. No, it's not. Look at that. All right, so I, like Delbert said, Lights? I don't know. Oh, look at that. Now you guys can see. So I will be going to Mongolia, as Delbert had said. Over here we have the Mongolian flag, and over to the left, is a ger, or a native house that Mongols live in, and that is actually what we'll be staying in when I am over in Mongolia, so super excited about that. The next slide. Ah, look at that. So for those who don't know me, my name is Ellie. I'm 15 years old. I currently attend Crazy Love Church, which is a strange name, but, you know, oh well. That's how God's love is. It's crazy. I accepted Christ when I was 6 years old. Been going to church since I was a baby. Some hobbies of mine are cleaning, hanging out with friends, and traveling, henceforth why I'm going to Mongolia. Yes. I'm an odd duck. Very few of us. last summer, me and my parents, Ezra, my little brother, and my grandma Cindy all went to Nicaragua, for those who don't know. And some of the all those pictures up there are of us when we went down to Nicaragua, which was, it was life-changing, and I love it. Wish I could go back. I'm taking this trip because I want to see what God has in store for me, whether it's in the U.S. or overseas. I just kind of want him to be able to find my place in his kingdom where I can serve him. The next slide should be, look at that. Random facts about Mongolia. The capital is Ulaanbaatar. There are roughly 2.839 million people in the entire country of Mongolia. The religions over there is 53% Buddhist, 4% shamanism, thank you, and 3% Islamic, and there are only roughly 24,000 Christians in the capital, and when you have a population of more than a million, that's not a lot. And so I'm really hoping that being with Teen Missions, we'll be able to get out and, express the Word of God to people who may not know him or are maybe on the verge of becoming a Christian, that we can definitely convince them to walk into the waters of Jesus. And their currency is one U.S. dollar to 2,489 Mongolian Turkish thingies. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. They also have the same calligraphy as Russian, or whatever you call that. So that is woohoo. And the climate is frigid, so I'm gonna definitely want to bring my thick leggings for this trip, not like Nicaragua. So the next slide, yes. So 30% of the culture is still nomadic, and they travel around, especially in the Gobi Desert, which is takes up the south part of Mongolia. They follow wild mustangs and wild camels to harvest their milk and their meat. Oh, yes. When we are in Mongolia, I will actually be able to go horseback riding and be riding a camel. So excited about that. Hopefully, nothing goes haywire. Look at that. So in Mongolia, they have some interesting things that they do, especially during the Nadam Festival, which is in mid-July, which is the time that I'm going to be there. Their delicacy there is mutton, or for those who don't know, sheep. And they will cook all of it, including the eyes, and eat them. Aren't I excited to eat that? Being a traveler, you gotta have a bit of an adventurous taste buds, and at least a hopefully strong stomach, you know. Why they are known for Mongolians are known as best horsemen in the world because 30% of the country is still nomadic. During the Nadam Festival, it is in celebration of horseback riding, wrestling, and archery. And as you can see, over the archery is, that's a little girl, and she's roughly the age of 3 or 4. They start a really young shooting, and I think it's pretty cool, but at the same time, I'm not Mongolian. So slide 6, the next one. So these are traditional garments of the men and women in Mongolia. Women over here who are dancing, and they do traditional dances in this giant arena, and it's a pretty big deal over in that area. And then over on the bottom is the men's garments. So they all are very vibrant colors and intricate designs, and I'm really excited to go see those because we also get to go to a museum that, we get to try on stuff like that. It's interesting. Look at that. So who is TMI, or Teen Missions International, you may be asking? It's an organization that helps teens grow and learn about God and how God works in their lives. It's been around for 67 years, so for an organization, that's pretty good. And every year, there's about 40 teams and 30 different countries that they go to. This year, there's 36 teams and 25 different countries and over 42,000 youth students participating in this. And I personally want to give God a hand for that because that's amazing. Like, we may be a very small community here in, like, Walla Walla, Athena, Pendleton, all these areas. They're really small, but there are other Christians out there who want to also help God, and that just blows my mind every time. So what we'll be doing is setting up medical clinics, construction projects, such as like building houses, schools, churches, and we'll also be teaching kids about Jesus and doing like VBSs, so I'm pretty excited about that. Why I want to go to Mongolia? Well, this is interesting. So why I want to go to Mongolia is because I had a dream a couple days after Ryan Fast, which was the guy that pretty much introduced Teen Missions to me and my family. We've known him for forever. But I had a dream about this little girl, and she's actually the one that I had a dream about. Her name in my dream was Malia Jane. So starting back at the beginning, I had a dream that I went over to Mongolia and then came back. 8 years later, I went back over to Mongolia and adopted this little girl. And I looked up Mongolian little girls on the internet, and this was the exact girl that I saw in my dream. And I definitely thought that was confirmation from God that I needed to go on this trip. And it's amazing how God works in miraculous ways. And so, yeah, that's... It's interesting. So I will be teaching children English and probably doing some sort of musically musical dramas or something like that to try and get the word across, because the kids and people over there, there are very few people that speak English over there, so it's really hard to be able to communicate. So drama is one of the main ways that we will be communicating, which is going to be kind of cool. So the traveling dates, I will be leaving on June 17th and coming back August 11th. So down there, when I leave for boot camp, which is 2 weeks long, then I will get on a plane and fly over to Mongolia for 5 weeks, and that's where we'll be doing all the construction projects or orphanages and stuff like that. And then we'll come back for a couple days, and that is my entire summer. So that's kind of interesting. Yay, no rest time, but oh well, doing it for God. Woo! Finances. Lovely finances. Yeah. Okay. So the total cost is roughly $5,100. That's including a little extra emergency money just in case anything goes wrong, like medical bills or something may go astray. Something feels like it always does. But if you would like to help with finances, there is the paper in your bulletin that would tell you how to deal with the checks. Or if you would like to donate in cash and you don't want to write a check, trust me, it's a bit hassle, but oh well. I'll be in the front couple rows for 10 minutes after the service. Yes. Oh, look at that. Prayers. Yay. Long list of them. So, safety, no sickness for my team. That the orphans would be filled with the Holy Spirit, as like when we come into the orphanage, that the atmosphere can change from like really sad to happy and feeling loved. Because I know that's a real struggle for orphans or maybe even just regular people who may have a family. It's just really hard. So I pray that the atmosphere changes. I pray that I have my own connection with the Lord, because when I was in Haiti, it was really hard. Nicaragua, wrong country. When I was in Nicaragua, it was really hard for me to connect with the Lord because we were constantly going, and I had no time to really process everything that was going on. So I'm really hoping that I have time to process all that's going on, and that God can, he can talk to me in maybe ways that I haven't seen before. And I also am hoping that you guys would pray that to see God move in mysterious ways in my team, in the orphanages, in the country in general. That's kind of what I got. Yes, all done.
Any questions for her? No, you cannot go. If you'd like to come pray with Ellie, come on over here. We'll cover you in prayer, Ellie. Just come right down here. He can surround you. Yeah. No, let's just, we'll have one prayer.
Jesus, I just declare for a young lady with a heart to serve that you bless her, you encourage her, and God bring honor into her life for God serving you with a heart to a country she's never been, but through dreams and visions, sees the leading. So we just declare this would be a mighty time for her life and for you to seek into her heart, the depth of her soul, God, the anointing of your Spirit working through her. Mm-hmm.
Safe travel and health for her team, and that you open the eyes of the blind, heal those that are sick, and work through this team that they draw closer to you and also witness to the Mongolian people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Father, I just ask that your Spirit goes with this young lady, leads her, Father, protects her, and shows her the love, Lord, that she has for other people.
Heavenly Father, keep her safe.
Mm-hmm.
so we just claim in the name of Christ that you remove all the barriers that will keep her from this adventure, from this seeking you in another country, from the seeking this connection with other Christians who don't even know they're Christians yet, but you've already paved the way. Lord, we ask that you help her in this. Go.
So, Father, we thank you. Lord, your hand of covering, protecting, advising, guiding, giving insights. Lord, things that she does not yet know, she will come home with the gems of the kingdom.
Yes.
And bring them, Lord, not just to her own heart, but bring them to her fellow students at school, to her friends and neighbors, wherever she speaks, Father, that these gems of the kingdom will enrich and challenge, will convict not only her, but anyone who hears them. And so, Lord, thank you that love is spoken in every language. And God, that just the act of going tells the Mongolians, I love you. And so, Father, we send our love with her. And Ellie, send greetings from Crazy Love and from Athena Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Bob and I have some thoughts for you on our Haiti trip. What an experience. Holy moly. It was awesome to go there. And a lot of you saw the Facebook post I was giving out every day. And that was just such a minute piece of everything we experienced. But today we just have a few thoughts for you. We have a video we want to share with you. Let's watch the video first, and then we'll have a few comments and go from there. Are you ready with the video, Kayla?
So my question to you is, what did you see? What did you see in those pictures? What's that? Touch lives. Okay. Anybody else? Healing, amen. A lot of healings. A lot of healings. A lot of people came to Jesus. A lot of people. I don't know, too many to count. Lost track. Anybody else? Questions? Meeting others' needs. Amen. I don't know if you caught it, but the one guy was out there, the way their car wash is, you park in the middle of the river, and he was washing his bike in the middle of the stream of water running. That's how they wash their bikes. Okay. Haiti is a very poor country, and the people are survivalist. That's who they are. They know how to survive with little. As our understanding that 40% of the population is without employment, and it was nothing to drive down through the streets and roads and just see people standing around doing nothing. So it's very set up. You have to wonder if anybody pays taxes, because you got all these vendors along the street. So odds are, I question if they ever pay any money to the government for any of the money they receive, because that's how they live. They go pay somebody else. We did not see many supermarkets or any of that kind of stuff. I don't even know if we saw very any. And from the time we left the airport till the time we got out to our compound, we never saw any wealth, any place, any time in this whole journey that we went. Everybody was in survival. Their homes were made up of tin, and some were mud. They went into a number of homes to pray, maybe one bed for six people, and they'd have little shelves there for their cups and dishes and to eat off of. So we're talking a very poor country. We did see major healing, just as in Nicaragua. This group of people, Impact Nations, believes that God is out there for the healing. There's the scripture, and this is what we saw. And this was the anointing of being in the presence of Jesus there. It says, Jesus, okay. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, are you the expected one, and shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is exactly what our journey was about. And we saw, I saw all of the above. I did not see anybody raised from the dead. And we did not pray over any lepers there in Haiti. But all the rest we saw. We saw hearing. We saw eyes. We shared the gospel. And I'm still recovering from the journey of the overwhelmingness of what we saw and experienced. I am never, our day, we began at 6 in the morning getting up. We shared the word of God together with some people that would get up with us. And then from there, we ate breakfast. From there, we had worship. From there, we got on the bus. And if we were lucky, got back at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, sometimes 8 o'clock for dinner, and turn around and do that the very next day. And our main focus was one for healing. But the healing came through Jesus, and everything we did is for Jesus' glory. We never gave food. We never gave water. Everything was a love gift of Jesus Christ. And we served over 800 people that got to see medical treatment with trained nurses that were well qualified, as well as from Haiti would journey out with us in these journeys. So that's my story, and there's more to share tonight. But an anointing, would I go back to Haiti? Not today. Would I think about going back to Haiti? Yes. But they're very compassionate, warm, receiving people. And well wanting to receive Jesus Christ. And some of you asked me, did we baptize them? No, we did not baptize them. I never saw a church with a baptistry in it. Did we find a pastor for them to follow up with the church? Not always, but some of the time we did. We have to trust that they receive Jesus Christ into their hearts when we ask them if that's what they wanted to do. And we'll trust the Holy Spirit to lead them on through their trials of life, and that we did not leave them nor forsake them. And as I would leave them to Jesus, I would say, he's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. And that's the love I tried to share with these people. So that's my journey, and there's more to share tonight. But thank you for your prayers. You don't know how much it means to walk in this room and see your faces and not have a place of horns and honking and just noise. Every single minute of our day. Didn't mean when we went to bed at night there wasn't noise. When we got up in the morning, there's noise. And roosters, I timed them. They started at least at 3 o'clock in the morning, started crowing. So there was never any quietness. And it was hard to sleep. I mean, we were sitting in 80 to 90 degree temperatures in our rooms at night trying to sleep. And we had a fan, but I mean, it was hot. And, you know, so long days. Thank you.
Name one person in your life that you would do anything for. Zach? My grandma? Name one person you would do anything for. Family. My kids. We as parents would say, I would die for my, yes, your grandkids, absolutely. And you do that because you love them, because you know them. Think of a missionary who goes to the field first day. First day on the field. Knows nobody. Doesn't know the language. But over time, you start to get it. And over time, they start to see the love you've brought. And you love them, and they love you. And this is a place of suffering. Haiti is a place of lots of suffering, at least in my view. Maybe the Haitians wouldn't say that. It's just daily stuff. You know, you kind of accept the daily stuff you do, you live in. But they, like I told Ellie, the act of going says, I love you. Just like the act of coming here says to God, I love you. It took effort, time, some gas money, some prep to come to church because I love you, God. And when you go somewhere else, it takes time and effort, prep, and it says, I love you. That's why I came. Amen. Yeah. I don't want to share too much because next Sunday, I'm going to share with you what God has taught me in Haiti, and what I'm bringing home to you and to me. Anybody know what Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says? We call it the Great Commission. All right? There's a great commandment, the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commission is summed up in one word, which is go. Go. Because going says, I love you. I love you. Ever felt like nobody loves me? You know, maybe I'm hurting and people know I'm hurting, but nobody came. Well, that's just the opposite side of that same coin. When you go, even when it's difficult, you're nervous, you don't know exactly how it's going to unfold, but you go anyway, it says, I love you. Going to Haiti was, for me, we land into Haiti, we get off the plane, get into the airport, and you saw a picture of a guy pushing our luggage, and he said, $20, pay me now? No, I'm not going to pay you now. We'll pay you $10, he says. Anyway, more about that tonight. But we got on the bus, which is not a comfortable bus. You saw the bus we rode on. And drive for an hour and a half. And as we were leaving the airport, I'm looking at everything that is foreign to me and hot and dirty and noisy. And my first thought was, I want to go home. I really did. I thought, I want to go back home. But that didn't last very long. We got to see the rest of the team and gather together, and it was good. And we got used to the environment after about 5 or 6 days of really being there. But the first day on the field, out in the village, with a bunch of people I don't know, they don't know me, Pastor Adam says, Delbert, break out your guitar and sing some. And so I'm singing, and they're clapping, and we're starting to connect. And it was fun, and they're smiling, and I'm smiling, and I'm going, hey, this is okay, I can do this. And then it was time to start the clinic, so people were going inside the building to get some medical attention. The rest, which is a lot of people, are outside, and we're supposed to pray for them. Pastor Adam says, Delbert, you take this one right here. Oh, okay. Well, what do you need? Well, I don't see well, and my stomach hurts, and my back hurts, my knee hurts. And I said, okay, so I pray the way we were trained to pray. Just scared out of my mind, really. Just, my God, you better show up. I hope this works right. You know, all that kind of And then I, you know, we get done praying, and then ask the translator, how does she feel now? And she said, well, I'm better. Okay, well, let's pray again. We pray again. And oh, I'm better. I can see better. My tummy doesn't hurt. My knee doesn't hurt. And I'm going, really? I mean, oh, yeah, really? That's what I prayed for. Here's the thing. Matthew 28. Jesus came to his disciples and he said to them, he's saying it to you right now, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, or because of this truth that I have all authority, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always. Be sure of this, I'm with you always. And as the week wore on and as we were wearing out, I said, Jesus, I need your power. I need your strength to keep going. My body's getting tired. And the noise level, 24/7, is unreal. But we kept going. And we finally got done. I told you before we left that I wasn't sure what I needed from the Haitians. I now know what I needed from the Haitians. That's tonight. So, as we go, the power of God to work through you, the power of God to uphold you, the power of God to sustain you, the power of God to speak your words that come out of your mouth, the power of God to do something powerful with those words in someone else's life, all happens in the word go. It's really that simple. What do we tend to say? I need another class. I'm not ready yet. Well, I tell you what, Bob and I were not ready. But we went and God did all this stuff because we were willing to. Amen. Amen. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. We're going to hear more tonight. Let's continue to worship. Oh, tell them about the prison. Just one word about the prison. Yeah. Prison cell made for 6 people has 36 people in it. On a hot day, misery, those people can't lay down to sleep. Okay, that's more about that tonight too, but yeah. It's a hard thing to go see and experience.